section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
CM Punk gets sued, Lesnar walks out on Raw, and we discuss the Fastlane fallout. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So John Stewart, he answers Seth Rollins' challenge from last Monday Night Raw. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so Seth Rollins, as you've probably seen already, had blasted John Stewart in the Daily Show, you know, in a kind of fun little promo that he did. And Stewart, he came back, and as opposed to, you know, go at it in a like, oh, who are you? You're nobody. He actually had a really fun, you know, promo that he cut on Seth Rollins. I actually think that this is really great publicity for wrestling. It's really great for Seth Rollins because this is showing that he can transcend the sport, which really proves that he is the future of the WWE. And I think that this could help out if, you know, if all goes according to plan and we have a Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania, have, you know, John Stewart in Randy Orton's corner, you know, and you can try to get some more publicity that way. So I think this is actually really cool.
And John Stewart has been a wrestling fan pretty much his entire life, which is nice. And his kids are fans as well. So it'd be interesting to see if they actually go into the Daily Show, which, you know, you never know what's going to happen with that, but it'd be kind of cool because it would cross promote and it actually benefit the WWE more than anything. But it would actually give John Stewart basically a platform to talk about how he's going to be at WrestleMania, which is going to be one of his highlights, I believe.
Well, it's good for wrestling in general, and when you get more exposure, it's really great. I just don't want to see him in the ring. That's the only thing I don't want to see. Because
Jay Leno.
Exactly. Same thing, like Jay Leno being in the ring against Hogan. Yeah, you got a lot of publicity for it, but it looks stupid. It looked dumb.
Well, it looked good when Kevin Eubanks came in and gave him the diamond cutter, though.
Which he did a pretty decent job at, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Well, that's because Eubanks he is ripped. So, of course, when he went in there, he was just like, hey, look at me. I'm throwing up the diamond cutter. 1, 2, 3.
Real quick question for you. I wonder if you search for Kevin Eubanks if he'll come up. Or Jay Leno, if he'll come up on the WWE Network.
Oh, happy birthday, WWE Network. Maybe that's something we should check out. So, Aaron, I got something in my email the other day. Apparently, if you have been a subscriber this entire time, instead of using our few hacks, you got $25 to use whatever you wanted to purchase. But there's a catch, by the way, I found this out. I went to go buy my Kevin Owens t-shirt, because why not? And when I went to checkout, it said for standard shipping, it was like $6.99. But if I wanted ground, 2-day, or next day, it was zero. So I was trying to order. It wouldn't let me. Well, finally, I called them up, and they said, well, there's a glitch in the system. You got to pay for shipping. And I was like, oh. So in a way, that $25 gift, basically $25 gift they give you, it's kind of lame because you got to spend $7 in shipping and handling plus tax, which that's what gets me is – so that means I got to spend it all being almost $9, but I don't know if I'm gonna buy a shirt now. That's what, because it was like, oh, this is cool, it's free. Now it's not.
Well, you know, if it's cheaper, then you know it's might be worth it.
I could always get like, you know, a onesie or you know, some wristbands. You know, like the ones that they wear around their wrists. It could say "Think Again, Paige," or it could say. I don't know, Unstable, Dean Ambrose. I don't know which ones they have. John Cena, Can't See Me, Never Give Up.
So real quick, just to bring it back to the discussion we were just having, Jay Leno and Kevin Eubanks both show up on the WWE Network. And very fun fact, I searched for Chris Benoit, and one thing came up about Chris Benoit.
What's that?
ECW Hardcore TV 92 in January 24th, 1995. And they actually mentioned Chris Benoit.
Wow.
That's the only thing that shows up, though, when you search Chris Benoit, which is kind of weird. But anyway, back to one of the biggest news that happened, this broke on Friday, which was Colt Cabana and CM Punk are being sued by Dr. Amon. And CM Punk in particular, he's kind of suing Colt Cabana. That won't hold any type of merit. But the CM Punk one actually might. And one of the things that had happened was he said that he's going to be suing them for defamation of character. And then WWE immediately put out a package video. And this was ready. This was not, we happen to have this on file. They put out a package video of CM Punk's behind that was showing that he may or may not have had a staph infection and wasn't the size of a baseball. First things first, what do you think of Punk and Colt getting sued?
Okay. WWE lost the first round, and one thing that Dave Meltzer said on his show was that they paid CM Punk a lot of money. He said he knows the number, but he can't say what it is, but he said it's a lot of money. And when Meltzer said that before, like, he'll say $1 million is a lot of money, but when he said that they had paid Punk a lot of money, people speculated it could be as little, the short end could be $2 million, but it could be as high as $4 million that they basically had to fork out to CM Punk. Plus, they had to pay, most likely they probably had to pay his lawyer fees too. The way that, and the thing is, WWE now can't sue him for any reason. But there's a loophole. Because he attacked the doctor and used the name. If he didn't use, I think his name's, it's Chris Amon, I think it's the name. If he didn't use his name, that's a different story. Then it's going to be harder to sue him. But the fact that he used his name, and he said that it was a baseball size, and he was very specific about it, that's where he's going to – this is where it's going to hurt him the most. He's going to end up losing money over this. So the WWE might have lost, you know, we'll just say $3 million to CM Punk, but in a way they could get almost $1 million away from him, which actually hurts CM Punk in the long run.
Absolutely. And something that you had said that I totally agree with is the conspiracy theorist in me was saying – that WWE did not want to come out and sue. You know, that may have been part of the settlement, but I also think that they're smart enough to say that CM Punk may be back in a WWE ring at some point in time. Let's not burn that bridge, but let's, you know, maybe we'll put some termites on there. You know, maybe we'll do something to kind of hurt it. So even though Dr. Amon is going through a Chicago firm, because he is from Chicago, he's going through a firm with his own money. WWE is giving him money. I mean, no doubt about it. They have to be the one that's footing the bill, even if they don't come out and say it. To have that file ready to go to show off, there's no doubt in my mind that WWE is behind this because, like you said, they lost round one. They're going to try to win round two.
Exactly. And you know what we should have done is actually contact the one person we know that does lawyer stuff and ask that person about it as well, see if, hey, what happens with this? Because it could be that he is not going to have to fork out any money. It's all based upon the judgment. So they could get, you know, 25% of that judgment plus their lawyer costs on top of that. So they can be making a pretty penny. But if Dr. Amon gets extra money, they would be like, all right. But I believe that it's good for him to do this because let's say he wants to start a practice in Chicago. Since he's from Chicago, he starts a practice in Chicago. This will hurt him because of what Punk said. Now, if he comes out and says, okay, I was exaggerating this, I exaggerated that, that's
which
fine.
I'm sure he did.
Well, I believe he did. And all the stuff that he said happened, they didn't find out until months after the fact. So this is where I think CM Punk should have held stuff back or edited certain things out. And I believe they did. But I think that this is something that should never use his name. If they didn't, if they just said WWE doctors – WWE can never come after him because he said doctors is how many do they have on staff? Mm-hmm. Is it a doctor of something else? You know, I can keep going on and on about this. But it's also sad because I feel bad for Colt to a certain extent because his podcast gets exposure and now it's getting exposure again, but it's getting the negative exposure that you don't want. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I don't think we'll hear anything about it for a while, but you know that every time Punk gets in front of a reporter or does anything for USC from here on out, this will be asked about. So this will hurt CM Punk, unfortunately. But I'd like to see what really happens. Now, the one thing that I'm really more curious about is the whole thing about Patricia Arquette went up on stage for the Grammys, which I'm just be honest, I don't watch that.
You mean the Oscars?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. The Oscars. Exactly. Grammys are music. Oscars. Yeah, okay.
So I can definitely tell you don't watch it, though.
So. Exactly. So if that tells you anything, because they said it was like 4 hours long, and I'm sorry, but like I watched WWE programming for 4 hours, and let's just put it this way, Fastlane. That's a different story. But anyways, so there's something that Stephanie tweeted, basically, like women should be equal, blah, blah, blah. Well, AJ Lee, ironically CM Punk's wife, blasts Stephanie McMahon for it, saying give divas a chance. This is something that I think the WWE is going to now stop talking. They threw it out there, and they're going to go on from there.
Absolutely. So the give divas a chance was a hashtag that was being used on Monday and Tuesday by a lot in social media, and even Vince McMahon came out and said, "We hear you." You know, Stephanie McMahon talking about women's rights. AJ Lee comes out and says, "How come female wrestlers have record selling merchandise? Have started in the highest rated segments of the show and are not being paid as much. You know, why are they getting paid so little?" And Stephanie McMahon, you know, as a way to, you know, kind of shield herself a little bit from it, she said, "Thank you. I appreciate your opinion. Hashtag use your voice." I wonder, does this mean that AJ Lee is basically going to be gone from WWE?
Pretty much. Because okay. even though she's going to bring back, well, you're suing my husband. Okay, that's fine.
So April Brooks is basically, you know, not going to be there.
No, I think they said they have stuff for her, but now it's like, is she going to come back? But, mm-hmm. you know, she made a good point. She goes, divas are selling. There's a lot of diva merchandise. You know, Paige is one of the highest ones right now. The Bellas were, and then I think them being heels – as we've seen before, if you're a heel, your sales go down right away. I think what was it? Stone Cold said at one point that his merchandise sales went down when he was a true heel, but when he was in between, his sales went up, and when he was a face, they went up even higher. The problem with the Bellas is that there's so much stuff out there, and their stuff's nice and crap, but I think Paige has a different genre that they're hitting, which is great, and I think that they should do that. Her merchandise is selling like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. She's on every show, though. So, like, she was on Raw. She was also – I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't watch Main Event, but she might be on Main Event on SmackDown. She's always on stuff, so that's why, because she's popular. I think once the NXT divas start coming up, I believe the women's division will change, and I think there will be more segments. Now, this diva segments, when she's saying that are the highest rated, she's wrong actually on. Some of the stuff I'm looking at right now for the ratings, they go down actually, which is the thing. So the ratings will be at one point and then they'll go down no matter where they put them on the show, unless it's early. So, but when Paige is on, it's up, but the Bellas, it's down. I don't know. This is one of those weird things.
You know, the thing is, I think it depends on the diva itself because, you know, I hate to say it, but you have like a Summer Rae segment. I'm going to fast forward through that 9 times out of 10, unless it's actually something worthwhile. When AJ Lee was on, though, I would stop and I would watch. You know, Paige, same thing. I stop and watch a little bit more. You know, there's few and far between that I do that for. You know, the Bellas, I don't. There's nothing exciting about them. They don't have a good storyline. That, in fact, if anything else, you know, and we don't talk about women's wrestling, not because we don't want to, but because they don't have anything worthwhile going for them. So we almost never talk about it. But, you know, this past Monday, they had a segment, and bell to bell, it was about 30 seconds, and it took about 10 seconds for them to even lock up. So the match itself was about really 10 seconds long, which is ridiculous. That is never how any match should be, ever. I mean, it shouldn't, because you're not getting a story in. And it honestly annoys the crap out of me. And I really applaud the divas for, you know, saying something. I applaud AJ Lee for even sticking her neck out like that, because let's be honest here. She's just, I don't want to say burnt a bridge, but she definitely, you know, she might be setting fire to it pretty soon. You know, so let me just say that.
She's throwing gasoline on it. She doesn't need to. But speaking of that match, I feel bad because Emma's actually a really good women's wrestler, and they're not showcasing her. But when she was on NXT, it was a completely different story. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it's if it's because they when it gets to the bigger crowd, they can't hold them. Because I'm wondering when Charlotte finally comes up and when Sasha Banks finally comes up, I'm wondering what's going to happen with those two, because are they going to be able to control the crowd, you know, like 10,000 people? Can they do it? Because if they mm-hmm. can't do it, then there's something not translating, or maybe the crowd doesn't want to see it. But if you look at like the NXT crowd, they want to see women's wrestling because they know they can go at it. You know, reading house shows and people talk about like this NXT house show is so good. They let the divas go for 15 minutes, curtain to curtain. You're like, what? 15 minutes, curtain to curtain? That never happens. Not even at WWE house shows. They may get 10 minutes tops, and there's 5 minutes of entrances, and then another 2 minutes of them messing around in the ring before they start grappling.
No, you're right. So
that's, I guess that's my thing. And I like seeing the women wrestling. I like when they can wrestle. That's why Charlotte, for some reason, I don't know if it's actually like a blood thing, but she got it right away. And I didn't think she would, because she was bad for like her first two or three matches. And then all of a sudden it changed. And I believe it's because Paige helped her out.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was Paige necessarily, but I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, Charlotte, you know, comes from a wrestling background. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that she has been able to take off and do well. Not everyone does. Curtis Axel, good example.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there's countless others. But no, I don't know. You know, women's wrestling can be good. And when you have a good story to tell with it, then it makes it even better. So I hope that they continue with this. And I really hope that they the real divas get more time.
Yeah, and here's my problem right now that's going on. There's been multiple reports now that Brock Lesnar was furious about a meeting after creative. He talked to them. Basically, they probably told him, hey, this is what's happening at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. This is the card. You're going to be the main event, but here's the deal. You're going to lose to Roman Reigns, and this is how you're going to lose. And I believe that's when he found that out. He's like, well, I'm not going to be there. I don't want to be there. Or it could be that you're going to win, but Seth Rollins is going to come in, curb stomp you onto steel steps. 1, 2, 3, he's the new heavyweight champion. Something along those lines happened, and Brock Lesnar was furious and walked out on Raw. Because you remember, everyone talked about how he was going to be at Raw. He was going to be at Raw, and then all of a sudden he leaves. So something happened. I'm wondering what really happened. They've been very tight-lipped about it. No one really knows the whole story. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So I imagine that Brock Lesnar has some sort of creative control. It's probably not, you know, to the extent like you had Hogan back in WCW, but I imagine that it is, it is pretty intense, the type of control he has over his character, because, you know, let's be honest here. You know, they've built him very well. They've done a very good job of making him seem like an unstoppable monster, and kudos to them for that. But guess what? His contract is running out. And so you have to be prepared for that. And Roman Reigns, look, whether or not you like it, I don't. Roman Reigns is the person they are putting all their chips behind. You know, they are putting all their money on red, and hopefully it's not going to come up, you know, with, you know, double zeros.
I was just saying, or it lands on green.
Exactly. Right. You know, so that's what they're kind of hoping for. And I imagine that Reigns or Lesnar probably doesn't want to go out like that. He doesn't want to go out losing the title. But WWE has to protect themselves, and they have to protect the business. So I, depending on the type of conversation, which we'll probably find out here over the next week or two.
I know what they can do. Why not have Lesnar win at WrestleMania? He comes out after the Raw and WrestleMania and says, listen, I've proven everything I can do. I'm done. I don't need this title. I'm going back to the UFC. Leaves the title in the ring, tournament, and then whoever wins the tournament, it'll be Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan in the final match. And Daniel Bryan snaps, does something to Roman Reigns, so Roman Reigns is hurt, and then Seth Rollins comes out and cashes it in at Payback. That's probably why he's mad, is because that's the idea that came up.
I doubt it. No, the reason why I doubt that is because for them to do that is they need to make Roman Reigns look big. You're not going to make Roman Reigns look big by losing to Lesnar. Roman Reigns does not look powerful by losing to Lesnar. Roman Reigns looks powerful, though, by taking down Lesnar. If Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, it's going to be a huge moment for his career, And he is now the main guy for WWE, whether or not you like it. I don't. You don't. But that's the way that it'll be. So, you know, they have to do that. They have to protect their business, and they have to try and get their merch sales up. They have to try to make this guy the biggest star that on the planet, and that's how you do it. My guess is Brock Lesnar does not like that.
If that is true. So let's talk about some WWE programming. What did you think about the Bray Wyatt segment?
He got me. I was like, oh, okay, Undertaker's here. Cool. I was really excited, and then I was like, why is he wearing white pants? And I was like, oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. I liked it. I thought it was very well done. I'm not a huge Bray Wyatt fan. I'm not.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. I'm not a huge fan of
his. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not. The thing is, though, I'm not against him. I'm not. Like, I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns. I don't like him. But Bray Wyatt, I'm just not a fan of.
Okay, okay. Who's better on the mic? I'm going to throw a name out there right now.
Okay.
Kevin Owens or Bray Wyatt?
I'd probably say Bray Wyatt with the types of promo, those types of promos. But me personally, I would rather listen to Kevin Owens because I don't like those so far out there characters. That's the thing. Undertaker is different because he transcends everything. But I don't like the kind of weird Bray Wyatt-esque character. And I'm in the minority. That's fine. I know I'm in the minority, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh, you're an idiot. You have no idea what you're talking about. It's just a personal preference. I'm not saying that he's bad for business. I'm not saying I wouldn't push him in the way WWE has pushed him. They're doing a very good job. I personally am just not a fan.
If I had to pick who I'd want to do like the toll package, I actually think that Bray Wyatt is the toll package right now. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens, I think, he's good with small crowds. But I'm wondering how he's gonna translate to like the 10,000 people, the 50,000 mm-hmm. people. That's what I'm wondering. So if he comes out and he can hold those people, then I think Owens will actually be on top for my skills right now. Because I think Bray Wyatt, even though I don't like how he's out there, I believe that when you give him the mic and he owns that character, they said, hey, here's a character that I thought was gonna fail, and he made it work, and somehow he improved his wrestling ability in the ring. I'm surprised. He is like one of the guys that right now I think could go all the way to the top, could be a main eventer, could be a Undertaker-esque in a way.
And that's what they had in store for him too. And you know, if you notice, he doesn't wrestle that often. You know, Bray Wyatt does not wrestle at every Raw. He doesn't wrestle at SmackDown. You know, he's not wrestling except for on the pay-per-views. And if he does wrestle on a Raw, it's typically in a tag match or it's a squash. You know, he doesn't have the 20-minute classics, typically. I'm not saying that obviously he's wrestled Ziggler recently, but that's not a typical thing for him. And that's because WWE is trying to protect him and trying to protect his character and trying not to overexpose him, which is smart. You know, that's what you don't want to overexpose a character because once you do, you know, you Ryback it. You know, Ryback He was a terrible character because they overexposed him. You know, I personally think that they've been doing that a little bit with Roman Reigns, where they've been, you know, hey, we're going to have him, you know, break Kane's elimination record. We're going to have him eliminate four people at Survivor Series. You know, we're going to do everything possible to try to, you know, tell you that this guy's important, you know, and that's what they've been doing. So,
okay, real quick, why is it that the tag match might have been the match of the night on Fastlane? And then that is kind of where it stops.
No, Cena's match was the match of the night.
No. But
that was match of the night, because, I would say, because of the psychology. Well, I think that Rusev did a fantastic job with that. The tag match was okay. I don't think it was spectacular. The pin was really good. I think Tyson Kidd, obviously he was trained, you know, in the dungeon, you can tell, because, you know, for the roll-up that he did, when he hooked both legs is a way to say, I don't want this guy to kick out. You know, that's what he did. And he did a great job of that. But Cena and Rusev, that story that they told in the ring, oh my God, it was fantastic. That was a wrestling classic. That is the type of thing that you look at with, you know, back in the 80s, you know, in the early 90s. That's what the type of match that they had, which is, you know, it's not flashy, but it was a really good story.
Okay, the story itself in the ring for that was really good. For like wrestling ability, I think basically Kid and Cesaro and the Usos are tearing it up right now. I think those guys can make the tag division again. And I like the fact that Ascension is doing stuff now, like they did on Raw against
Primetime Players. Yeah, losing a bunch of matches.
Well, they lost to Primetime Players. But you could almost have a four-way for the tag belts if they could get in that storyline. And realistically, you don't need the other two. You could just have Kid Cesaro and the Usos go at it because they put on their matches have improved every week. And then with Cena and Rusev, their matches are getting better psychology-wise. And I like the fact that on Raw, Cena came out and basically said, you're attacking. You can attack me. I'll never stop. But when you go after my country, everything changes. And the thing is, Cena's been able to turn a crowd that even when he comes out and they're like, John Cena sucks. That has been that's been going away a little bit because he's saying, I'm going to own this ring. This is my house. I'm going to prove it by being, more of a patriot. And I think
they have to try to get him over also. I mean, that's the thing with Cena is that people boo him and they have to try to find a way so that way people won't boo him. So they're like, okay, who's somebody that they hate? Okay, Rusev is getting a lot of heat. Let's have Cena Rusev because that way they probably won't boo Cena. I don't think. Hopefully.
Well, because he's saying that I'm fighting for America, for the United States. So you can't boo that.
Exactly.
So you have to root for him. And, he came up with even new merchandise. You know, this is the second shirt this year. It's February. Maybe he'll have a new shirt by WrestleMania. Let's just do one.
That's what I'm hoping for. I do really like the story that they were telling, and especially the ending there where Cena was trying to get his arms off of the legs and Rusev kept pulling them back. You know, the working on certain parts of the body that they were doing, they honestly did a really good job. I'm not saying it's the type of match I'm going to go back and watch a million times over, but it's a match that it was good. And I think for Cena is probably in his top five matches, in my opinion. You know, his matches with CM Punk obviously being in the very top, maybe even HBK going to be up there too. But I think his match with Rusev is probably in his top five, if not his top 10.
I don't know. That's tough. I'd have to rate matches for him, but it could be. So that match, I think, told something good. But then you move to the IC title, so you have the US title, then you have the IC title, and Ambrose goes after it. But Ambrose gets DQ'd, so he loses.
Yep.
So he's now 0-8 for pay-per-views, poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about that? The guy that sold the most merchandise over Thanksgiving is 0-8 at pay-per-views.
You want to hear why I think they're really doing this? I think it's because his movie is going to be coming out here shortly, which will probably be straight to video. Nothing against him, but that's just how WWE works.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to put the IC title on him while the video's out, and then after 2 weeks, then they'll take it off him. So why not put the title on him at WrestleMania? Because you could say that he won the IC title at WrestleMania, and now he's starring in – I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
You could do that so you – but you could also make it work out as well because he, hit Ziggler, during that – on Raw. So you know there's going to be a three-way right there at least for the IC title, if not a four-way.
I'm thinking it's going to be a four-way because they've been teasing with Truth. In fact, on SmackDown, they were doing that with them too. I'm thinking that we're going to see a four-way. And in my opinion, you're going to have Barrett win the title. Or not Barrett, I'm sorry. You're going to have Ambrose win the title from Barrett. And I think that you need to because, look, one of your most over guys, a guy that when he comes out, the crowd gets excited for because he's different. I'm not saying you need to rocket him to the top because I don't think you do. I think the path they have him on is really good. Being 0-8, I think, is a mistake. He should have won a match against Seth Rollins and against Bray Wyatt. But he needs to win this. This is very important. And his match at Fastlane, while it was a really good match, it was good for the most part. The ending was stupid. And I don't think it helped out either character. In fact, if anything else, I think it hurt Barrett. And I think Bad News Barrett is getting hurt the most out of this. And that's very unfortunate because you don't want to hurt Bad News Barrett in order to elevate Dean Ambrose. And I think that's what you're doing right now. I think that you can help both people out and have a winner. have Bad News Barrett look strong, you know?
Yeah. And you know, we got to say thanks to former TNA referee Rudy Charles, who basically screwed up this match. That's how I look at it. He screwed.
Well, he didn't do the Goldust Stardust finish, at least.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll give you that. Me, Cody. Yeah, they didn't do that. But to me, them calling, I just didn't like that. I did like the fact that when he left, came back, grabbed the title, and walked away. Now, that's
absolutely
funny.
I'm very glad about that, too. I'm very glad about that.
Oh, my gosh, dude. You know what they're going to end up doing? They're going to do a four-way with R-Truth in it, ladder match, because they're going to give Barrett another title. And they're going to have two IC titles hanging up there like they did at with WrestleMania 11 with Michaels 10. And 10 with Michaels and Razor Ramon.
Yeah, I would be in favor of that. You know, I think a ladder match would be a really cool thing to do at Mania. Have it open the show. I'd get everybody excited because you're going to see some of the best wrestling on the planet with those four. And it's going to be, you know, miles above the main event. So. Anyway, Andy, let's move on, though, to the biggest news, which is your boy, Roman Reigns, defeated my Daniel Bryan. And so now the WrestleMania main event is probably set. First things first, did Reigns even impress you at all in this match?
Nope. You know why? Because I've watched this twice now. And what I like to do is I like to go behind the scenes and see who's calling the match. And when I hear Roman call once or see him call one spot where basically he goes over and, if I'm correct, he clotheslines Daniel Bryan. And if that's the only spot he called the entire time, any monkey can call that spot. It doesn't matter who it is. You throw a chimpanzee or a monkey in the ring and they can call that spot. Great. When Daniel Bryan's calling all the spots and making you look like $1 million, I think it actually hurts Daniel Bryan because he's putting over a guy that is supposed to be some big monster, and he's not.
I disagree. I don't think that hurts Daniel Bryan that much. And, you know, last week we talked about this quite a bit, but we're going to talk about it some more. Roman Reigns is in the main event, whether or not we like it. Okay, this is not like last year where it was Batista Orton, which was stupid. This is actually a worthwhile main event of Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. In my opinion, having it be a three-way would be a dumb idea. I think that you cannot make this a three-way. And then also, in my opinion, Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar would have been a terrible main event because I just – Daniel Bryan to me is not as believable to beat Brock Lesnar as Roman Reigns is. I hate to say it. I really do. I think that Daniel Bryan can be served in a much better capacity that is not Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar.
Okay, let's just say this is what happens. Roman Reigns does win. Seth Rollins cashes it in. And then for Roman Reigns to get payback, he'll take on Seth Rollins at that pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably what will happen.
And by the way, if you go to a WWE event, can someone please make a cardboard cutout? It doesn't have to be very big, of the Randy Orton RKO out of nowhere. And just walk around with it, like, just randomly, like, go have him go by a person, and then have, you know, especially someone falls, throw him out there. So, or when Roman Reigns comes down, you hold it up next to him in case he falls, and then it's RKO out of nowhere. Someone needs to make that sign.
Wow. So anyway, Roman Reigns defeating Daniel Bryan. The match was a lot better than what I expected it to be. This was actually a match I was really excited for. I think they did a really good job building it up. I think this helped make Roman Reigns look much better and more credible to a casual wrestling fan and even a wrestling fan such as ourselves. The only thing is with Daniel Bryan, I don't know where they will do with him for WrestleMania because he doesn't really have a feud going on.
That's a good point. He has to wrestle. That's a thing. Because if he doesn't wrestle, they're going to have him take on Sheamus. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And that's something I've been thinking about, is Sheamus is going to come back, and then they're going to bring out the 18-second thing, and Daniel Bryan's going to get revenge for that. They've also been teasing him for the IC title even. On SmackDown, they teased him a little bit for that. Or do they have him win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? You know, like what – if you're booking WrestleMania right now, Daniel Bryan can't be in the main event, okay? So what do you do with him?
That's a good point. What do you do with Daniel Bryan? What can you do with Daniel Bryan? That's the thing. Because he has to wrestle. There's no way. He has to be on the card. Because people will be furious if he's not. And he can't go against the IC title.
No.
He can't be in the Rollins-Orton match, which we know is going to happen. Where do you put him?
You know, actually, I think, you know what I would do?
What?
You know, Orton came back, and we'll talk more about Orton next week. I would actually have Orton stay with the Authority in that type of angle that they're doing for until the end of Mania. And then at Mania, what you do is you have Seth Rollins against Daniel Bryan. Because I think that would be a really good match. And put the briefcase on the line, maybe, but have Rollins win. But then afterwards have, like, you know, something happen where Rollins, like, hit Orton. Orton goes nuts. Orton RKOs Seth Rollins. And then obviously see the Randy Orton turn, you know. That's probably what I would do, to be honest. Because I don't want to see Daniel Bryan against Sheamus for the third time at WrestleMania. I just don't.
I don't even want to think about that. You know what we should do? How about we book WrestleMania sometime in the next 2 weeks?
Okay. I'm good with that.
We should definitely do that. So, anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. Aaron, have you been watching Lucha Underground at all?
I have. And normally this is the spot where we talk about TNA, but we're going to, you know, not a whole lot happened this past week. So, you know, why don't we save it for next week? And instead, Lucha Underground has been around now for 20 episodes or so. I've watched the vast majority of them. I didn't have El Rey for a little bit, but I caught up on some of that, and I am very current on it. So I got to ask you, Andy, you watch a lot of wrestling. Lucha Underground, where does it rank for you in terms of everything that you watch?
You know, I like the in-ring stuff. The promos are good and stuff, but the in-ring work is great. Theirs is more of a more soap opera based, and then they'll have like three or four matches, but they'll have like, you know, really high quality scenes, like when Del Rio, I'm sorry, it's not Del Rio now, but El Patron, when he was
El Patron.
El Patron, I'm sorry, Alberto. When he was on there, I liked how they used him and how it's all about this dramatic thing, how you cannot basically, I'm going to hold everything, this money is mine, blah, blah. I control everyone in this cage, basically. Mm-hmm. I liked that aspect of it. I thought it was cool. There's one wrestler that really stands out. His name's Angelico. He is unbelievable in the ring. He's tall. I think he's 6'4 or 6'5. But he acts like a cruiserweight in the ring, and I think he's better. And he's put out some moves that I was really impressed with. I've never seen a wrestler before. Hands down, probably the best wrestler there right now.
There's a couple of wrestlers that I like that I've enjoyed watching. But, you know, for me, it's I don't like how soap opera-y it is, which is funny because WWE is definitely, you know, very entertainment focused. But the thing about Lucha Underground, Johnny Mundo is really cool to see. He's put on some good matches. You know, you have your power guys like Cage who, you know, they actually have a decent storyline going on with him where he ripped the belt in half. That was kind of cool to see because that way you're like, holy crap, this guy's a you know, BAMF, you know? And you're like, wow. They also have there's one guy, I think it's Puma, right? Prince Puma?
Yes, Prince Puma.
You know, he's really cool. He's very talented. There's quite a few guys on there that that are talented. But for me, I hate to say it, but Lucha Underground is actually my least favorite wrestling program for the week.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, that is probably – besides SmackDown –
you know, like Raw is going to be number one for me. Raw's number a clear number one. You know, ooh. TNA is probably my second.
What? Raw's number one.
That Raw's number one, yeah, because that's setting up everything for the week.
All right.
TNA's probably my second one, unless it's a terrible TNA, which it can be. After that, probably Ring of Honor, then NJPW. NJPW is good, it's...
NXT?
I'm not counting NXT. NXT, aww. I typically save those up and watch them all at once. NXT is great, though. NXT, you know, if we're talking everything, probably NXT would be number one. And I'm not saying that because I'm a wrestling hipster. NXT, honestly, with only an hour's worth of content to do, they put on fantastic shows. And that's the way that you do it, you know? That's one of the things that TNA does well. They only have 2 hours. That makes those 2 hours very important. Raw has three. Those 3 hours suck.
You know, I think if they went back to 2 hours, I think it would change things.
Absolutely.
I think if they went from – I actually think that they should do 7 to 9 and just skip the third hour because, as we've seen, the third hour ratings always go down. Why not just have it a 2-hour show and make it a big thing? And then you can almost do something where, hey, here's the something else going on, and you go to W Network for the last 30 minutes or something like that.
You do the third hour when it's a big event, you know, in 1000th Raw, you know, it's a special show, then guess what? 3 hours. But you don't need 3 hours all the time. I mean, we've been doing 3 hours now for over a year, and it's exhausting. And I don't have that much time to watch wrestling,
and
you know?
If you're watching the pre-show on the network.
And no one watches the pre-show.
I do. I fast forward through it. I watched it in about 2 minutes.
Lucha Underground, Andy, where does it rank for you? Stack rank for me right now, wrestling for the week.
NXT, like what,
NXT
Raw,
is number one.
Ooh. NXT, Raw, NJPW, TNA, main event.
That doesn't count.
All right. Then I do Lucha. Lucha is the one.
What about Ring of Honor? Where's Ring of Honor for
it? Oh, I'm sorry. Ring of Honor would actually go before TNA. Just for the in-ring ability. TNA is actually really good. But I guess the problem that I have with TNA is that they've taped so far out, and to me it's almost like they're throwing stuff together.
You know, Lucha does the same thing. Ring of Honor, the stuff you're watching is typically Lucha's, you know, 2 weeks
though.
Old.
But see, Lucha, they know what they're doing on each show. They know exactly what's happening. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this. Then we're gonna do this. But it seems like TNA, they're like, all right, we're going to put out a 4-hour show, and we're just going to throw things here and there.
You know, and actually, when you think about it, NXT's the same way. You know, all the stuff for NXT's are already taped.
The thing is,
you can see the spoilers just like TNA.
I know, but I'm actually excited because I know, you know, what's going to happen the following week, or you know, or basically in the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is. But even though I know what's happening, I still want to see it, and it's actually entertaining. And I know we knocked TNA for it, but I guess to me it just seems like it's disorganized.
I've started to stay away as far away as possible from spoilers, and the main reason why is because I want to be surprised and entertained. And, you know, I'm not entertained if I know exactly what's going to happen. And, yeah, I fast forward through certain segments that are dumb, but I'm going to pay attention to the main wrestlers, the main storylines that are going on. And if it's a new up-and-comer that I want to pay attention to, then obviously I'm going to. But Lucha Underground, though, I think is okay, but to me, it is the furthest down for the alternatives from WWE. TNA is a little bit of an alternative. Ring of Honor is more of an alternative. NJPW is very different, so that's the biggest alternative you're going to see.
Do you think the Bullet Club could actually work in the United States?
Absolutely.
Really? The whole thing with the gun? Pa-choo,
pa-choo. Absolutely.
I don't think that would work. I think that someone would come around that you know they're against the NRA, and I think that would actually hurt if they
brought
something
like
that.
I'm sure that it would. But you know the thing that I really like that Ring of Honor and Lucha Underground have been doing is that you're seeing the same people show up in both promotions, but it's not hurting that character. You know, seeing Alberto Patron in both those promotions is kind of cool, and I kind of wish TNA would do that. You know, if they're taping this far out in advance and they're doing shows back to back to back, say, hey, you know, former Del Rio, come in and do 3 nights with us. We just want you for a quick stint. We're going to test the audience, see what they think of you. I know you're doing that Ring of Honor thing and you're doing Lucha Underground. Have them come in and do that. I don't know why they're not doing that. I don't know why they have this, you know, fantasy of being, you know, WCW version 2. They need to accept the fact that they're just a step above Ring of Honor.
Oh, that's actually a good point.
By the way, I just want, you were talking about spoiling stuff. I think this was the first pay-per-view for Fastlane that I did not look at who was going to win ahead of time. It's the first time, and I think it was 17 pay-per-views or 16 pay-per-views that I did not look who was going to win. And you know what? It did make the show exciting, but also made me upset, of course, because of the ending.
I knew exactly what was going to happen without reading anything.
So did I, but I was hoping that Daniel Bryan would end up winning, but wishful thinking.
So anyway, Andy, but yeah, that's my feeling on Lucha Underground. I think it's fun to watch, but you know, it's not terribly exciting. You know, it's I would tell people watch TNA, watch Ring of Honor, watch NJPW before I'd say Lucha.
Yes, I do agree with that too. So it's definitely a good alternative, like we've said. Definitely, at least check it out if you're more into the drama part of it, more of a something that's storyline focused. Strongly on storylines, that is the place to go. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, see you in the ring.